bring us this day where we can get to know you better from your word. I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts, and may you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 23 summarizes God's comprehensive care for his children. Philip Keller, in his wonderful book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, calls it a psalm of divine diligence. It is the second of a trilogy of messianic psalms of Psalm 22, 23, and 24. Psalm 22 speaks of Christ as the suffering Savior, Psalm 23, Christ as the caring shepherd, and Psalm 24, Christ as the coming king. We look back to Psalm 22, to our shepherd who died for us. We look forward to Psalm 24 when he comes again, but we live in Psalm 23 where he cares for our daily needs. So Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. This is a very bold claim. The Lord here, the name the Lord, refers to God's personal covenant name. We first see this name in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, where God appears to Moses at the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am, it's translated Jehovah, and here it is called the Lord. And so the first claim that this psalm makes is that the Lord, that is the one whom we have to shepherd us, is the self-existent, self-sufficient God who exists within himself. He needs nothing and no one, and yet he has committed himself to caring for all of our needs. Everything else in this psalm follows from the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. The God who needs nothing and no one is my shepherd. Therefore, I will not lack. And notice here that this is the present personal experience of every child of God. The Lord is present, my personal shepherd. If he's our shepherd, then we are his sheep. As sheep, we are needy, we're kind of dumb, we're very defenseless, and we need him for everything. But with the Lord as our shepherd, again, we will not lack. He provides for all of our needs, and he suffers no decrease in his limitless resources for doing so. Psalm 34, verse 9 and 10. How God provides for all of our needs. Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Or you don't have to turn there, but Psalms 84, verse 11. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Or Romans 8, 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. This speaks of the Lord's provision. He provides green pastures from which to feed. He enables us to rest in peace and contentment. He provides for our physical needs, but most importantly, he provides for our spiritual needs. The green pastures here can also speak of the Word of God. We are meant to be feeding on God's Word. This world is full of noise, full of distractions, very little quiet. But as the hymn writer says, Jesus calls us over the tumult of life's wild, restless sea. We're meant to be feeding on him and on his word, because in this world, he is where the green pastures are. We will not realize how empty a lot of the things this world promises are if we don't feed on Christ and on his word. I think one of the Proverbs says, to a hungry man, every bitter thing is sweet. We can't distinguish good from bad if we're not full of Christ and his word. In John chapter 10, where Christ declares he's the great shepherd, John 10 verse 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus here offers salvation to those who come in with him as a door. Not only that, he said he also provides sustenance for all of those that enter in. I don't have my glasses, so I can't really see the time. Please do forgive me if I take my freedoms. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. Albert Barnes comments, this can be rendered as, he causes my life to return. The word soul here means life or spirit. It refers to the spirit when exhausted, weary, or sad. And the meaning is that God quickens or vivifies the spirit when thus exhausted. Many things in life can rob us of life. They can rob us of our energy. But the Lord faithfully restores us as a shepherd would a cast or tangled up sheep. The Lord restores us when you are cast down by the guilt of our sin. I like Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Micah 7, 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. I think it was Corrie ten Boom that said, referring to this verse, that God casts our sins into the depths of the sea, and then he puts a sign saying, no fishing. I like Ezekiel 34, verse 11 and 12. You don't have to turn there. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And this has some prophetic implications to it. Jeremiah 31 verse 25 also says, for I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. And speaking of our Lord, the servant, in Isaiah 50 verse 4, it says, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. We have a shepherd who meets us in our time of weakness. The psalmist also says he knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. But we're sheep, and as sheep we have limited strength and we're prone to wander. But he stands ready to restore us. Not only does he restore us, but he also leads us in the paths of righteousness. He gently leads us. He doesn't leave us alone to figure out life on our own. Instead, he goes before us and he tells us to follow him. God is not after our begrudging submission. He wants those that will follow him willingly. John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. John chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. To him the porter openeth. Well, let's start with verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth upon some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own by name, his own sheep by name. And he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I like William MacDonald's commentary on verse 4 and 5. He says, when the true shepherd brings out his own sheep, he does not drive them, but he leads them. And notice this, he does not ask them to go anywhere that he himself has not first gone. He is ever out in front of the sheep as their savior, their guide, and example. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack provision for verse 2. I will not lack direction in verse 3. Because he leads me in the paths of righteousness. And he does this for his name's sake, and that is so that his name would be honored. Here are some verses on God's guidance. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Or Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in a way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Isaiah 48, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee in the way that thou shouldest go. Psalm 48, verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack direction. Or verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord, and this is not my, the Lord leads us to pain as purposefully as he leads us to pleasure. The word yea here, it means that we're continuing the thought from verse 3, that he leads us in the paths of righteousness. And as he's leading us in the paths of righteousness, those paths will go through the valley of the shadow of death. And in such valleys, here the psalmist says, yea, though I walk. What kind of person walks through deep valleys? I've been in darkness before, like physical darkness. I don't walk. I don't walk in darkness. I'm an athlete. I become an Olympic runner. I don't like darkness. I will not walk in darkness. Not at all. Our shepherd himself also went through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death can also be translated as the valley of deep darkness. So it encompasses the many different challenges that we may go through in our lives. We will go through disappointment, we will go through failure, We will go through loss and we'll grieve loved ones. We will go through sickness. We'll go through our many different valleys of deep darkness. But notice that these phases in our lives, it may seem that they're permanent, but they're just transitory. We're going through the valley. We're not in, it's not a dead end. The valley may even mean the advent of death in our lives, but that is not the final destination either. To the believer, it is merely the shadow. It is the valley of the shadow of death. What's his name? Matthew Henry said in his commentary that the shadow of a sword cannot kill you. There's only the shadow of death, because Jesus, our shepherd, who was gone before us in that valley, he conquered death. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we have the hope of a resurrection, because the sting of death has been taken away and has been conquered. The psalmist says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This is the second of three personal confessions that the psalmist makes. The first is in verse 1, I shall not want. This is the second one, I will fear no evil. We see the third one in verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The basis of his confession that I will fear no evil, he backs it up by the next phrase, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Notice the shift in the pronouns here. In Psalms 23, verses 1 to 3, he's referring to the Lord as, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And in verse 4, he's in the valley of the shadow of death. And it's almost as if before he was talking to us about this shepherd. And now he finds himself in this valley of deep darkness, and he starts talking to the shepherd. For thou, you are with me. The valley of the shadow of death may be very terrifying, but we have no reason to fear, because God draws near to us. This may not mean the end of suffering. It doesn't mean that he takes the valley or the danger, the disappointment. He doesn't take it away, but we have comfort in that he is there with us. In the Bible and in church history, we see over and over how God draws nearer to his people when they're going through their valleys of the shadow of death. There's many examples. I think of Jacob. He's running away for his life. Esau is chasing him. He's sleeping, and for his pillow, he has a stone. And it is there that God meets him, and he gives him a vision that I will be with you and I'll multiply you. Or Isaiah, he has his vision of God in the year that King Uzziah died. Or Job, where he says that even though like my skin is eaten, I will still see God in my flesh. Those people were able to really see God because they had really gone through real pain, real darkness. Even in our hymn book, many of the hymns that we've come to enjoy were written by people that knew real suffering. But in knowing real suffering, they also came to know God. They came to know a God who doesn't leave us in our valleys. Please turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Notice that this list could keep on going. You could add a couple more, though, and though this, and though that, though the economy crashes, though the government comes to ruin, though whatever and whatever. It's not the contents of the list that really matter. What matters most is that God is a help. God is a help. God is a present help. God is a very present help in times of trouble. So whatever we may be going through, if the earth is removed and the mountains are shaking and everything is coming to ruin and there's a disaster and whatever else it may be, in those times, we can know for sure that God is there. He's very there. He's a very present help in time of trouble. God is with us. God has promised his presence to his people. When God commissions his people, he often gives them the promise of his presence to encourage them to go forth. When he called Moses in Exodus chapter 33, it's the second time, Exodus 33 verse 14, and he said, "My presence will go with thee, and I will give thee rest." When our Lord in Matthew 28 is giving the Great Commission, he says, "And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." We can then lead, we can live our lives with confidence because we know that our Lord is with us. He promises his presence to us. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God is with us. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And notice our shepherd has a rod and a staff in his hand. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23, verse 4. Our shepherd holds in his hand a rod and a staff. The rod is a picture of his sovereignty. We have the picture in Revelation where he comes and he rules with a rod of iron. A rod is also it's for dealing with attackers. Our Lord, our shepherd, he is gentle, but he's not weak. A shepherd also uses his rod to count his sheep as they pass under it. Christ said he will not lose any that are his. The staff is for pulling us in. It's for correction, for protecting us from often our greatest danger, which is ourselves. Psalm 23, verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Notice how active our Lord is in this verse. He prepares. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And then that's implicit of the fact that he overfills our cups. Here we get a sense of how lavish, how liberal our Lord is in his giving. God is not cheap. He gives freely. He gives generously. He gives abundantly. John 10, verse 10, he says that he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. In contrast to our enemy, the thief, who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. I like Albert Barnes' comments on this verse. He says, "The friends of God are made to triumph in the very presence of their foes. Their enemies are compelled to see how he interposes in their behalf, how he provides for them, and how he defends them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because he provides for me and he causes my cup to overflow." Okay, I have to talk longer. I have to stretch out my points. This is not good. Okay. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, that is certainly in the New Testament. Before Jesus start talk, usually he would start with, verily, verily, I say unto you. Surely, surely, I say unto you. That is with truth, with confidence. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. The word follow can also be rendered as pursue. And goodness and mercy will pursue me. And goodness and mercy here is really referring to God himself in his goodness and mercy pursuing you. So God is one. So God is not part good, part mercy, part so on and so forth. God is love. God is good. God is not part of his attributes. And so in that God and his goodness and mercy, goodness and mercy is chasing us. They're not some agents. It's God himself and his goodness and mercy following us. We have the mercy of God to restore us when we fall. And we have the goodness of God to encourage us in life's trials. Psalm 27 verse 13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God is only ever loving to his saints. Always, all the days of my life, he will follow me in his goodness and mercy. All the days of my life, that includes the days when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death and the days when my cup is overflowing. In all of those days, his goodness and mercy is pursuing me. He is there with me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the third and final confession of this psalm. This is our final destination. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack in time because he provides for all of my needs. But I will not lack for eternity either because he will take me to his house and I will stay there for forever. Psalm 73 verse 24 says, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. John chapter 14 verses 1 to 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In Revelation 21, we're coming to the climax of God's revelation. And 21 verse 3 says, And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. We look forward to this day when we will be in the immediate presence of our great shepherd. But until then, we can journey in this life with the confidence that he will be with us all the days of our lives. He will pursue us with his goodness and mercy. And as his people, we will one day be with him in his presence and be there for forever. As I was reading, I came across this poem a hymn of Psalm 23 by Henry Ward Beecher that I really liked. Verse 1 of it says, The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. I like verse 3 of it. Perverse and foolish oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. And the last verse of it says, And so through all the days of my life, thy goodness faileth never. Good shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever. Let's turn to Psalm 23. And let's read it together out loud. Hopefully, you can find it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you would condescend to relate with us as a shepherd does with his sheep. Lord, please help us to trust you, to have faith in you in life's valleys, to always know that in whatever circumstances we're in, you will be with us. I pray that you continue to be with us with the second service, and you speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, thank you for that sermon. 293. For closing hymn 2-9.